Good morning. Our first case this morning is United States against Clayton. Counsel for the defense, you may proceed.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Captain Jennifer Parker, and I, along with Lieutenant Colonel Mark Teletochi, represent the appellant in this case, Sergeant Robert B. Clayton. The police seizure report at issue here is inadmissible under MRE 8036 and was improperly admitted by the military judge into evidence. Mainly, the police seizure report is not a proper business record. First, it was not made by a person with personal knowledge. Investigator Held, who was the lead investigator in this case and the witness through whom this report was entered into evidence, had no personal knowledge of any of the observations of any of the three police officers in there, other than what he observed himself. He had no personal knowledge.
The government makes the argument that even if your argument's correct, only part of the document falls into that category. Is the entire document outside of his personal knowledge, or which part of it is?
Your Honor, appellant argues that other than what investigator Held personally observed himself, the rest of it is out of his personal knowledge. The substance.
I understand the concept. So which paragraphs of this are out of his personal knowledge?
All of the entries, Your Honor, from the other three police officers, specifically Investigator Bach, Investigator Gumpelin, and Investigator Bogenrother. The three other officers and the substance of what they observed.
So in your view, if it was permissible, it's only permissible with respect to the second block of stuff?
Correct, Your Honor, with reference to what investigator held.
Would it have been admissible then, in your view, if the trial judge had struck those other portions?
There is still an argument, Your Honor, that it still should have not come in under the business record exception, but as far as the personal knowledge piece of it goes, he would have personal knowledge of...
Yeah, fair. Okay, I understand that part. Okay, I have other questions, but I don't want to hog the mic.
What?
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, well, I do, actually. What's the relationship between the issue that this court specified and Crawford?
Well, I think, Your Honor, inherent in the analysis of whether a document comes in under MRE 8036 and, by way of MRE 8038 Bravo, there's an underlying implication that the reason why this type of document does not come in is because an accused or an appellant has a Sixth Amendment right to confront witnesses against them. And when you have those witnesses that you put on the stand, you expect them to be able to actually testify as to the substance of the document.
Is there a Crawford problem, regardless of what the answer to the 8036, 8038 question
is? Your Honor, I don't think this court necessarily needs to get to the Crawford prong. Of course, I think it is maybe a secondary analysis to this, because I think on the face, when you look at just the rules, the case law, the MRE analysis, for example, the legislative history behind the adoption of MRE 8038 Bravo and 8036, you can see on its face that these types of police reports that are substantive police reports are not meant to be entered into evidence under the business records exception.
And the government's arguing that they are business record. Would you say, let's say you're putting aside the fact that you think you're right, let's say you're wrong, or you're wrong as a matter of votes. If this is a business record, is there a Crawford problem, or does that answer the Crawford issue?
Your Honor, I think if this court does consider this properly admitted as a business record, I think there would be an analysis that could be done about the fact that appellant was not permitted to substantively cross-examine investigator Held, which would go to a Crawford problem.
Isn't the whole point of business records that they're not supposed to be testimonial under Crawford?
That is correct, Your Honor, and this was a testimonial report.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Isn't correct or is correct?
It is correct, Your
okay.
Honor.
But wasn't he allowed to cross-examine Officer Gumpelil, or whatever his name was, one of the officers who actually found one of the balls of marijuana, which was a relatively large quantity?
I'm not sure about the quantity of it, Your Honor.
There's 31 grams.
Investigator Gumpelin was put on the stand, and although his testimony was brief and to the point, you know, appellant would argue that perhaps that alone may not have been enough to substantiate an intent to distribute charge for this marijuana, but in addition to that...
But I'm talking about the confrontation issue.
Yes, then there would not have been a confrontation issue with that because that officer did testify.
Okay, so there isn't a Crawford issue with that particular witness.
Correct. All four of them, you have to almost look at individually because they were treated differently with who testified and who didn't. So as far as Investigator Gumpley knows, because that officer was coming to stand, there was not a Crawford issue with him necessarily. However, in addition to the personal knowledge piece as to why this was not a business record, appellant argues that this was also not a routine business activity, the creation of this report.
Counsel, I'm a little bit confused. I mean, it seems to me that the argument that you're making is one that the military judge was presented with and rejected, which is whether or not this is a business record. And I thought that the issue that we specified, or the question that we specified, that the issue was, even if this would otherwise qualify as a business record, can it nonetheless not be admitted because of 8038?
Yes, Your Honor.
So which argument is it that you're making, or are you making them in the alternative, or which is your best argument?
I believe that we are making both, Your Honor. I mean, the appellant argues that this is not a business record, but regardless of whether or not it is a proper business record, the exclusion that is specifically enumerated in 8038 Bravo, for matters that are observed by law enforcement officers, which is what this report is, that exclusion would prohibit this report from coming in under the business record exceptions for a number of reasons. You have the specific language in 8038 Bravo, for example, that states this type of report should not come in.
Right. Now, I understand the arguments. I was just trying to clarify which argument it was that you were making, because I thought from your brief that you were making the argument in the first case that even if it was a business record, it couldn't come in because of 8038. In any event, it wasn't a business record. I mean, that's how I thought you argued it, but maybe I misunderstood.
If the drafters intended the exclusion in 8 to slop over into 6, why didn't they put it there?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
If the drafters of the MRE intended the exclusion in 8 for police-generated documents to apply to 6, to slop over into 6, why didn't they put it in 6?
Well, Your Honor, actually, I can't speak as to why they didn't. However, the court in Oates did address that very question when not only did they look at the history.
Is that drilling helpful, by the way?
Counsel, can you
speak up a little?
Let's suspend for a moment. I think the clerk is going to take care of finding out whether this is a crisis that needs to be addressed immediately or whether the clerk is. So your time, you can please have a seat and we'll see if it stops for a second. I'm going to assume we're under control and you may continue.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, please proceed. I heard about half of what you said.
I think you were getting at, Your Honor, why they didn't actually put the language into 8036. I think when you look at the analysis and Congress's intent in advisory committee notes that are referenced also in USBOs, you can see that the reason this type of report was put into 8038 was because this type of report is inherently unreliable. We have a report.
Public records are inherently unreliable?
The police reports, Your Honor, they're not meant to be trustworthy in the sense of a business record where it automatically comes in. They're not.
Well, I would seem that you've got two categories of record that are both regularly kept. One's a public record, one's a business record. And it would seem that the indicia of leaving the police thing aside, but wouldn't the indicia of reliability be basically the same for both of them?
When you have a document such as this, Your Honor, that is untrustworthy.
No, I'm not getting it. That's not my question. My question is, you've got two categories of records, presumably kept by bureaucratic organizations as a matter of course. It would seem that they're both equally, they both bear largely the same indicia of reliability.
It very well may be, Your Honor, but that is not what this report is.
Counsel, are items that are prepared in anticipation of litigation ordinarily considered to be business records?
No, Your Honor, and that is one of the differences that sets this report out from why it was not a properly admitted business record. This was not a report
Well, tie that to your answer to Judge Stuckey's question. I mean, does that help answer the question why this particular type of report would not have been mentioned under 8036? Or do you know?
Well, I mean, that is true, Your Honor. When you have a report such as this, it is an evidence seizure document, which is what it is. It is a narrative, although an outline form of four police officers who observe stuff at the scene of a crime. When you have a document such as this that is created in order to document evidence and, you know, the follow-on to that would be to prosecute somebody for a crime, that is not the type of document that was meant to be automatically admitted as a trustworthy document under the business records exception. There is a difference.
Is the problem inherent untrustworthiness, or is the problem the purpose of the document? Or both?
I think it's both, Your Honor. In addition to that, I think there are other problems, like the personal knowledge aspect and other things as well. So I think that those are just two of many problems with this report and why these types of reports that are matters observed by police officers are specifically excluded from routinely coming in under a hearsay objection.
Okay.
Whether it's, you know, specifically excluded under 803A Bravo, or whether or not they try to make it into something that it's not. And introduce it under 803.
Could you quickly parse this report from a Crawford perspective? Which pieces of it were based on in-court testimony, and which pieces of it weren't? You know, I we've got two guys testifying, two guys not, and which pieces of it are Crawford worthy, as it were, and which pieces aren't?
Well, on that theory, Your Honor, there are four officers on here, two of which did not testify.
Right.
So those two would clearly have a Crawford issue because they were not.
Right, and they are?
They are Investigator Bach.
Bach.
B-A-C-H.
Yeah, like the composer.
The last entry on the report, the fourth officer, it's Investigator Bogenbrother, Your Honor.
Okay, and they didn't testify.
They did not testify, no.
About the mysterious pedestrians? If any.
Yes, Your Honor. That
why does this doc? How does that document indicate they're lurking behind the scenes here?
Well, Your Honor, for example, in the original report, in the German version, before it was redacted and translated into English, there were obviously other entries on there. There was one police officer, for example, I believe it was Investigator F, who got on the stand and testified. He was called to the scene, and he discovered drugs, marijuana, but not on his own. It was discovered to him by an unknown number of pedestrians, pedestrians that weren't accounted for. Their information was not documented on any form whatsoever. And when it was transcribed into the English version, which is definitive evidence, that information is not on here.
These are items 13 and 14 from the German.
Investigator F's
item. EFF.
Yes, Your Honor. That's just an example, Your Honor, of why this document on its face is inherently untrustworthy, because it was not transcribed properly. There are...
Were they both in evidence?
No, Your Honor. The German version was not entered into evidence. However, it goes to Investigator Held and how he transcribed this document. I mean, he basically testified that he was the note taker and he acted as a scribe and collected the narrative from the other officers as they reported it to them. That original version is his initial report. Obviously, things were not transcribed properly. A second example under Investigator F is the fact that Investigator F testified he found the drugs at a certain location, whereas for some reason, in Investigator Held's report, they were referenced as being found somewhere else, and the evidence tag was tagged somewhere else. It just goes to the inherent untrustworthiness of the document as a whole. Because none of these other two officers especially testified, we don't know for sure how accurate the information on this is. Not to mention, appellant's name is not even on this document, Your Honor. Actually, there's no suspect reference on this document. So there's really no way to tell as to... It's not an inherently trustworthy document that should come in under the...
What in the document... let's look at prejudice. What went in? The government appears to be arguing that there's overwhelming evidence independent of this document. Okay. What went in this document that didn't go in any other form?
Could you just repeat that?
What evidence in this document went in that has no analog in other evidence that was not, that was Crawford worthy, shall we say, that was independently testified to.
The charge at issue here, if this does answer your question, Your Honor, is the intent to distribute marijuana.
Uh-huh.
That's the charge that this report went to as far as the conviction.
Was there any independent evidence apart from this document of an intent to distribute marijuana?
No, Your Honor, there was not. This document was the main evidence against appellant for the intent to distribute charge.
The main evidence? Was there other evidence?
The drugs themselves, Your Honor, were introduced into evidence after this report was introduced.
Okay.
So I am, you know, analyzing those along with this, but all of them should have been kept out.
Would the drugs have been introduced had this report not been introduced?
No, Your Honor. They would not have.
Counsel, let me try that question a different way. What specific evidence from this document was used against the accused? Evidence that was not admissible as either a business record or a public record. What specific evidence was used against the accused in this case?
Again, Your Honor, appellant argues that the entire document is...
With all due respect, counsel, I've read your brief, and I've read the government's brief. Neither one of them identifies what specific evidence is at issue in this case. You say the whole document. Let's get beyond the whole document and say what was used to convict the accused in this case that's in that document.
Well, Your Honor, since the accused was convicted of the intent to distribute marijuana, it would be the marijuana referenced in here. There are two items of marijuana that were referenced on here as being seized by Investigator Bach. Investigator Hill did not seize any marijuana. Investigator Gumpeline and Investigator Bogenrother both seized marijuana. So it would specifically be the marijuana drug that is at issue, not any of the other drugs that are listed on here.
Okay. And since Gumpeline testified, why isn't that evidence sufficient to convict in this case, even if the other evidence was inadmissible?
Well, Your Honor, Investigator Gumpeline did testify, and the problem is, the panel perhaps may have found her to be unreliable.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you, counsel.
Investigator Gumpeline did testify as to the marijuana. The panel perhaps could have found her to be unreliable or not given her brief testimony much weight. But then when this report was then introduced into evidence after she testified, or after he testified, I mean, there are obviously other seizures of marijuana on here by other officers. So it may have cured any doubt the panel may have had as to Investigator Gumpeline's testimony. This report may have not even come in if it was only a report of just what she seized as well. She did personally testify as to it, so there may have been foundation problems as to this report or perhaps bolstering or cumulative arguments that could have been made at that point. But the bottom line, Your Honor, is we don't know. I mean, we don't know what would have happened if the only entry on this report would have been what Investigator Gumpeline seized. Perhaps that's an issue that should be sent back for a retrial or a rehearing on that issue alone.
And with respect to the other two witnesses, why would those statements that are reported from them in the report not qualify as chain of custody documents under 803-8, which specifically allows chain of custody documents to be introduced?
Well, Your Honor, the statements that are on this report are not chain of custody statements. This is more than just a chain of custody document. It does not document, you know, who took evidence from where. These are substantive accounts by police officers as to where they were at a certain time, what they saw, what time they seized evidence, what the evidence was. I mean, it's essentially a narrative.
Counsel, that's fine. On rebuttal, I would appreciate your identifying the specific statements in this document that were used to convict the accused in this case, not generic statements, but specific statements, such as some of those that you're now referencing.
I could, if you'd like, Your Honor,
let's do that on rebuttal.
Okay, Your Honor.
Thank you. Your time is up.
Okay, thank you.
Counsel for the government.
May it please the court, I'm Major Christopher Clements, and along with Colonel Denise Lynn, represent the government in the case of United States versus Clayton. This court should affirm appellate's conviction and find the military judge did not abuse her discretion in admitting the police report under the business record exception for the following reasons. First, it qualified as a business record. Second, Congress never intended to limit police reports under the business record exception. And third, in cases such as here, where the author of the evidence testifies, confrontation clause issues are satisfied, and the concerns expressed in United States versus Oates are eliminated. The military judge found on the record that Herr Held, the lead investigator, created this document contemporaneous with the events on the 16th of March, that he had knowledge of such events, that it was reported.
Wait, hang on for a second. You said he created it contemporaneously on the 16th of March. Why is it dated 24 March then?
Your Honor, he created, as far as, if you look to his testimony, he indicates that he originally compiled the evidence and the listing soon after the original arrest. Now, the final version may have been several days later. However, he does indicate
But that it was the final version that was admitted, right? I mean, it's the final version that was at issue before the military judge.
Yes, Your Honor.
So is a document that's prepared 8 days later, that's contemporaneous in the view of the government?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, that's interesting.
If not the underlying information that was gathered by Herr Held, certainly he didn't wait 8 days to make some documentation of that evidence.
How do we know that?
Your Honor, we do not know that.
Counsel, you have other arguments? That's not the greatest argument I've ever heard.
The military judge found that it was made, at least within the time frame necessary to satisfy the business record. I don't know whether that was an abuse of discretion in that holding. That is this.
You say in your brief that this wasn't used to prove location. However, the drug seizure report was not offered to prove where the drugs were found. Well, why does it say location of seizure, location of seizure, location of seizure, location of seizure?
Yes, Your Honor. With a chain of custody document, you have to establish an initial starting point for the custody. And in this case, the location establishes that starting point. There was additional testimony and evidence that established where those drugs were found through either direct testimony from Herr Held or Herr Gumpelein. The fact that the location appears on the drug seizure report was not offered to prove their location. It was offered to prove that there was a continuous chain of custody from where they were seized to when they were tested.
Where's the rest of the chain of custody? So it says location of seizure, and then how do we know what happened after it was seized? Location of seizure, and the next thing it's in the courtroom, right?
Your Honor, Herr Held testified that he collected the evidence, took it back to the police station, and had sole custody over it the entire time.
But how does that help your assertion today that this is a chain of custody document as opposed to a drug seizure report? I mean, I understand that you'd like to make the argument that it's chain of custody document, but usually those follow things from the point in time that they are seized until they get into the courtroom.
Yes, Your Honor. And we're hampered by the fact that this is a German Polizei document. There isn't a direct identical form such as the CID form 4137. However, in this case, this document from the point where the drugs were seized to the point that they were tested by Herr Schwartz at the Erlangen Forensics Lab. In this case, Herr Held was the sole custodian of the evidence. Now, possibly, had there been another person involved in the chain, that person's signature and name would appear in the document. But in this case, all we have is Herr Held's testimony that he maintained sole custody of the drugs from seizure to that day in the courtroom where he brought them in.
Is that all that the document says? That I received a bag from X and I held it until I gave it to the laboratory?
Yes, Your Honor.
That's all it says.
Well, Your Honor, it says some other things.
How do those other things get into evidence in this case?
They're getting to evidence through other testimony, Your Honor. This document was not admitted to assert where the drugs were found. That came in through additional testimony.
So your view is that all of the non-chain of custody information in the document is replicated elsewhere in the testimony?
Yes, Your Honor.
What was the purpose of this document?
Your Honor, the purpose of this document is property accountability. Similar to the documents that were at issue in United States versus Rankin. We've had UA documents that documenting a AWOL soldier's status.
Now, certainly, they're keeping the drugs accountable by 8 days later for the first time recording and writing where they came from.
Yes, Your Honor.
That's a good chain of custody?
Your Honor, certainly.
Where's the document that indicates what was happening between 16 and 24 March?
That's not in the record, Your Honor. But the primary purpose of the document was to account for narcotics. It's not.
How do we know that was the primary purpose of the document?
Through the conversation with the judge and Herr Held, establishing that it is a business record, he said that this is kept in the regular course of business and that it is the regular practice to create such documents when evidence for contraband is found. Based on that, we can presume that is the purpose is to account for items that could pose a public safety threat or could conceivably later on be used at a court martial or trial.
Had this document not been introduced, would the drugs have been introduced?
Yes, Your Honor. This document, the government would argue, is cumulative as far as Herr Held's testimony and the testimony of the officers at the scene, the stipulation of testimony from the chemist who performed the test, and ultimately the introduction of physical evidence at the court martial, which incidentally, the labels on each drug that were introduced had the exact same information that appears on this report.
So it was foundational.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. All right, counsel. The great bulk of the stuff listed here was seized by Agent Bach. One thing was seized by Bogenreuter. You've got three baggies done by Held, who testified, and one ball-shaped package done by Gumpelide, who testified. You've got lots of mushrooms, little plastic jar with pills, lots more mushrooms, and a ball-shaped package, all seized by people who didn't testify. How do you get around Crawford here?
Well, first, Your Honor, the seizure by Bach, Herr Held later testifies that he saw the black backpack in the vehicle and that he was the one who inventoried the black backpack. So there is additional evidence apart from Herr Bach's.
But he inventoried it after Bach
gave it to him.
Bach seized it.
Yes, okay. Sir. So how do you get around Crawford here? For the great bulk of this stuff.
But once again, Crawford, if you have a Crawford issue here, Your Honor, if you assume that this is two levels of hearsay. In this case, Herr Held is testifying as to what he saw. He testified that he saw the black backpack in the Mercedes, and later on when he inventoried it, that is what he found. So in that case, Herr Bach's not testifying. The one place where there might be an issue is Herr Borgenreuter, where there is no independent testimony that verifies the location of where he found those drugs. However, Herr Held does say that he knew those drugs were found at the corner of Falkstrasse.
How does he know?
We don't know, Your Honor.
We don't know how he knows.
The defense had an opportunity to cross-examine on that issue, but did not develop it.
Okay, so all this stuff, all these baggies, all these mushrooms, all these pills were in this backpack.
Yes, sir.
Which was in the car, which Bach saw, Held saw Bach seize?
Yes, sir.
And testified to that effect?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Bach seized it, he gave it to Held. Held saw him seize it, and then presumably Held inventoried the contents.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, Your Honor.
Counsel, what's your response to appellant's argument or observation that the German document has different substance than the document that's been admitted?
Your Honor, the government argued that, that what is important is the document that was admitted to the panel, that was seen by the panel.
What about reliability, though?
We're
supposed to admit this as a business record because it's inherently reliable, but it doesn't look anything like or have the exact same substance as the actual document. So why does that give us confidence that as a business record, as you argue, it should be inherently trustworthy and come in? It's different on its face.
And, Your Honor, it's not clear from the record why that is. It could be that that the judge had already overruled the evidence that was submitted under paragraph F. It could be that this, after translation, was the only evidence that the judge had decided would be admissible.
But we're to speculate on that.
Or,
yes, Your Honor.
Or it could be that it was prepared by the prosecution in a format to be introduced as a prosecution exhibit, right?
That would go to the trustworthiness criterion of a business record.
Counsel, if we disagree with you that the report was properly admitted, what does that do to the labels on each bag of drugs that mirrored the information from the report?
Well, Your Honor, that would certainly bring those into question as well.
Counsel, on page 17 of your brief, you note, in light of this discussion, that trustworthiness criteria applied to the business exception will exclude police reports that are subjective, made under adversarial circumstances, or prepared in anticipation of litigation. And you contrast that with a routine, objective, non-adversarial activity such as a chain of custody form. What goes into a chain of custody form other than the statement of the person who received some information or an item, excuse me, that he received the item and what he did with it? That is, do you put in a chain of custody report statements by the person who gave you the item as to where they got it and how that information and material was developed?
No, Your Honor, but you would put in the location where it originated from. For instance, if you found narcotics in a soldier's room, the first block on your chain of custody report would say, found in this location.
But that would come from the individual who prepared the report, not from an individual reporting to the individual who prepared the report. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And isn't that what we have here? That here we have a substantial amount of information in the report, not observed by the person who prepared it, but observed by people who reported to him.
And actually, Your Honor, the only part of that document where what would fall into that category would be the seizure from Herr Beugenreuther. That's the only part where Herr Held physically wasn't there. Now, later in the record, he tells the judge that he knew it was found at that location, but there's no other evidence to support how he knew that.
Okay. Thank you.
Did the intent to distribute turn on the quantity of drugs? Do you understand my question?
Yes, absolutely, Your Honor. It turned on not only the quantity, but the preparation. The panel was able to see individual baggies of drugs. On top of that, you have circumstantial evidence of the controlled drug buy early that morning. So taken together, in addition to the amount of marijuana, the other additional pieces of evidence led to the conviction for intent to distribute. And ultimately, that brings us to the fallback position, which is that if you were to say that Herr Beugenreuther's seizure was inadmissible because of Crawford confrontation issues, even if you throw that out, you still have enough marijuana. Herr Beugenreuther's. You still have the testimony from Herr Gumpelein. Apart from this document saying that he's...
What if we are to say that Herr Bach's seizure is inadmissible because of Crawford? Where does that leave you?
Well, actually, that leaves us in the same position, Your Honor, because the judge...
Where's your independent evidence of, you know, what went in? I'll ask you what I ask.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, Your Honor.
What came in other than this to prove guilt.
Ultimately, Your Honor, the mushrooms and ecstasy are irrelevant because the judge dismissed those charges with prejudice because the prosecution failed to establish their Schedule I substances.
Okay.
The only important charge is the possession of marijuana with intent to distribute.
Right.
And whether you throw out one of those seizures still leaves the ultimate specification intact. Possession with some amount, it was amended to say some amount of marijuana with intent to distribute. So if you apply the Van Arsdale factors, first and foremost, this document was not important to the government's case insofar as proving the possession of marijuana with intent to distribute because you have her Gumpeline.
Because you have Gumpeline. And basically what you're saying is Gumpeline testified.
Yes, sir.
And there's enough there.
Yes, sir.
To warrant an inference of intent to distribute.
Yes, sir.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
But it is still the government's position that documents, chain of custody documents, are business records. Certainly, it was the position of the Court of Military Appeals in 1979, the case of United States versus Porter, where they held that chain of custody documents were not business records. But that was expressly overruled, Your Honor.
Do we have to find that this is a chain of custody document in order to find that it's a business record?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, so what other basis would you have us hang our hat on, so to speak, if we disagree with you that this is a chain of custody document, how does it come in as a business record?
Your Honor, it could be an evidence voucher, something along those lines. Certainly, if it didn't fall into one of the enumerated examples under Military Rules of Evidence 8036, there could be items that even though generated by the police, could still meet the business record exception. There are Federal Circuit cases that have held such things as warrants of deportation, although a police record fall into the business record exception. Fingerprinting, autopsies, interestingly enough, Second Circuit in the United States versus Feliz in 2006.
But none of those are an actual report done by law enforcement officers of a crime.
Yes, Your Honor.
They're more of a routine.
But they are done in response to a police investigation. And once again, I'll go back to United States versus Rankin, a UA document, the military, an AWOL document. Certainly everyone knows that will eventually be used at the soldier's court-martial. Prosecution for AWOLs are paper court-martials. But the primary purpose of that document is property accountability. In this case, the primary purpose is, and the same thing with the chain of custody document, the primary purpose is to account for items seized.
You mentioned Feliz just before I interrupted you.
Yes, Your Honor, that was a Second Circuit case, and it involved an autopsy report.
But that case also said the documents were prepared in anticipation of trial are not admissible under the Business Records Act.
Yes, Your Honor. The court in that case made a distinction on the ministerial and the administrative aspect of the creation of that report and the primary purpose. And that goes to, if you read the Military Rules of Evidence, the analysis, the drafters of the Military Rules of Evidence expressly said that chain of custody documents, among some of the others, are business records because of their administrative, ministerial nature.
You were arguing in the alternative that if there is a Crawford problem, it's harmless beyond a reasonable doubt because of the Gumpeline testimony?
Yes, Your Honor.
Was this before members?
Yes, Your Honor.
And how can we be confident this document didn't contribute to the verdict when the verdict is intent to distribute and it's a grocery list of a traveling Walmart of drugs? And so you get the members and they're going to go, do we need to listen, go sort out what this Gumpeline guy said? Or all we have to do is look at this thing that has like every drug ever invented in piles of them. That pretty much nails the intent to distribute issue, doesn't it?
Yes, Your Honor. However, the Article 81 conspiracy charge to distribute also went to the panel, in which case all those drugs were important in making that decision. Ultimately, he's found not guilty of that. However, this document would have been used to find him guilty of the conspiracy charge.
I'm not sure. Why does that give us confidence this didn't contribute to the verdict?
Oh, Your Honor, we have no way of knowing whether it did or not. However, there was, this is cumulative on top.
Well, wait a minute. If we're going to find something HBRD, we better have some way of knowing.
Your Honor, perhaps I misspoke. The fact is that this docket was cumulative on top of the physical evidence that was presented to the jury, on top of testimony from Herr Gumpelein, Herr Held, Herr F. We have a stipulation respecting testimony from Herr Engelhardt, a pursuing officer at the scene. You have the background of the entire events of March 16th. You had a car chase that involved two warning shots. You had a physical apprehension. Certainly, there was enough circumstantial evidence to push us beyond, harmless beyond a reasonable doubt. If you took this document out, the outcome would still be the same, Your Honor. Your Honor, since I've run out of time.
You may make a concluding statement.
Thank you, Your Honor. This court should affirm appellant's conviction because the military judge did not err in admitting this seizure report and the business records exception. If, however, this court should find that the judge erred, such error is harmless beyond reasonable doubt. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Does the defense have a rebuttal? And counsel, I may have been a bit abrupt cutting you off at the end, so I just want to assure you you'll have the time to make your points during the rebuttal.
All right, thank you, Your Honor. To answer your question, although not all the drugs on this report are relevant to the drug at issue, which is just the marijuana, as to that charge, here is what should be stricken. On the first entry, the location of the seizure that talks about where the drugs were seized, being in the passenger seat and backpack, the time that it was seized, the date, and by whom, that being Investigator Bach. And that is all substantive, and that person did not testify. As to the list of drugs underneath that, it would be the three entries relating to the marijuana. The fourth one down, the small plastic bag containing 1.1 grams gross of marijuana. Entry right underneath that, that's one small bag containing 0.8 grams of gross hashish. And then two entries down from that, one small bag containing 0.9 grams of gross marijuana. And that's all the marijuana from the first entry. And then with the fourth entry, you have the location of the seizure again, that information, where it was seized, the time, the date, and by who. This is Investigator Bogan Brothers. And then the one seizure of marijuana that is referenced after that investigator.
Thank you, counsel.
How do you answer the government's contention that even if it all shouldn't have come in, you still got Gumpelein with a big wad of marijuana?
Again, Your Honor, appellant argues that if all you're left with is just Gumpelein's testimony, the panel may very well have not found that brief testimony that he gave reliable, and when they saw this report, had any doubts bolstered by the fact that there were other officers that seized drugs, not to mention the sheer amount of drugs.
That's a sufficiency of the argument, or the sufficiency of the evidence argument, isn't it?
It is, Your Honor, but at the same time, it shows that this document, the introduction of this document, cannot be proven by the government to have been harmless. The only way to know that would be to send it back and try to have this corrected and admitted properly.
What does supposedly mean in the last entry?
I have no idea, Your Honor. Appellant would have probably cross-examined the investigator on that had he been put on the stand. Subject to the court's questions.
Thank you, counsel. We thank counsel for both parties for your presentation today. The case is now submitted, and the court will be in recess until 10 minutes before 10 o'clock.